The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We're getting the movies coming up at 7 with Kevin McCarthy, but right now we'll open up the Junkie Sports page.
We kind of talked about it already. Jim Larrañaga is stepping down as head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. He's been there since 2011, went to the Final Four just a couple years ago.
It was kind of stunning when he left George Mason because he had such a good thing going there, George Mason.
Yep.
And you have to say he had a very successful run at Miami.
Yeah,
he didn't know how it was going to work out. I don't remember the timeline, but when he went to Miami, they were part of the Big East.
Yep.
And now they're ACC. A lot of things changed in college basketball, but he was able to have a consistent, pretty consistent team making it to the tournament and, of course, made that Final Four.
Went to the Elite Eight the year before that. So he went to the Elite Eight and then Final Four in back-to-back years. He had 26 wins and 29 wins. And then the following year, I mean, you already mentioned it, a bunch of guys wanted to leave after the Final Four season. He won 15 games. So he went from 29 to 15 because he lost a bunch of guys. And then this year they were off to a 4-8 start. They've lost 8 of 9 games. They even lost to Mount St. Mary. So he's stepping down. Bill Courtney will take over on an interim level. And Bill Courtney has been a head coach and assistant for many, many years. He played at Bucknell and his head coaching job at Cornell. He was there for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. But he was an assistant at a bunch of local schools. So he'll take over on the interim level. So we'll see what happens there. But Jim Larrañaga is stepping down. 75 years old, he just said, you know what, can't handle the change in collegiate sports anymore. It's just too much.
I'll never forget that run at George Mason. Look, I went to Maryland, undergrad, went to Temple for law school. No association with George Mason other than we worked in Fairfax. But remember, we did a show from kind of the student union and just the way that a small campus like that just blew up because of the basketball run. It was awesome to watch. And you know, he came in studio with the team. We gave him a pep talk. It wasn't the same year that they made it to the Final Four, but we had a really good relationship with Larrañaga back then. That's how we got to know Chris Caputo, and who's now at GW all these years later. But that really was amazing. It was the first time it happened. I mean, it's happened since where these low seeds have made the Final Four, but that was unheard of at the time. And they went through powerhouses.
Correct. And it was fun to watch, man. It was. Yeah, I remember doing that show from the student union.
Yeah, it was like crowded, man.
That was nuts.
The student body was on fire.
And that was a night show. That's when we were doing nights. I don't think we were doing mornings.
Yeah, I think we were doing mornings.
You sure?
I think it was mornings. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was mornings.
I mean, we can just confirm the Final Four run was what year?
I thought it was a night show, but yeah, maybe you're right.
I think Mason's run was in 2006.
Yeah, we were mornings. Actually, middays.
That's right, because we started around 2003.
I'm 99% sure it was mornings.
I remember it morning.
Yeah.
Didn't you also hang Billy Packer in effigy?
We did. I can't remember exactly what Billy Packer said, but
yeah, I think he was none too pleased with Mason's run or something along those lines.
Yeah, he wanted to see the blue bloods.
Yes.
There was a Thursday night football game last night. It was a big one for Seattle because they are trying to make the playoffs.
It was a horrible game.
A bad game, man. Seattle wins this one over Chicago 6-3. That's right.
6-3.
Three field goals. Caleb Williams was sacked 7 times. Threw a pick, sacked 7 times.
Now, his pick was on a 4th down at the end of the game where he just threw it up for grabs. But I would put at least half these sacks on him.
He does.
I didn't watch it start to finish. I did watch late in the game, and I watched parts of it. It's a tough watch.
Oh, yeah.
The Bears and their statistics in the first half are particularly horrible.
They're horrible, especially in the first quarter, yeah.
First couple of drives, they had third down passes, which weren't perfect, which were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And these are good receivers, or they should be, in Keenan Allen and Odunze.
Yep.
I think they had drops. But I don't know if guys aren't open. He doesn't pull the trigger fast enough.
He's very hesitant.
He'll make spectacular plays. I think he had one last night where he was rolling to the left and kind of threw this amazing pass.
Mm-hmm.
It was negated by a holding penalty. Could have been a touchdown, but he holds on to the ball a lot. I don't know how you – I mean, I would imagine he's being coached that constantly, like, hey, you know, after like 3 seconds, you got to get rid of it. But I don't know.
It could be instinctive.
Like, you very rarely get that shot from like the quarterback's perspective to see if guys are open downfield. You've got a guy who was the quarterback's coach who was elevated to play caller, who was then elevated to head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe Matt Eberflus wasn't that bad because it's just gotten even worse.
He was bad. But the entire staff is certainly not helping Caleb Williams. But like you said, he does hold on to the ball a lot. He did that in college too. He did hold the ball. Now, he was able to get out of trouble more in college because he was just that much better than the guys that were coming after him. And he could get the ball downfield. But he's been sacked 67 times. 67.
How many times was David Carr sacked that one year? Wasn't that the record?
You'd have to check on that. The next highest is C.J. Stroud at 52. So he's been sacked 15 more times than C.J. Stroud in equivalent games. That's just a ton.
So David Carr was sacked 76 times during his rookie season with the Texans. Sam Howell crept up on it.
All right, well, he's probably not going to break the record.
Sam Howell last season was 65.
Yeah, that's just a ton. Just think about all those
plays. Just too many hits. They got to get the right coach. You wonder if Ben Johnson, that's the name that's floated around a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Detroit offensive coordinator, if he sees enough in Caleb that he would make that move. I mean, he definitely has, like, his throwing potential. You know, when we did our boards, I had Caleb number one because he does make incredible throws at times.
Yeah. No, he does. But he needs, first of all, he needs confidence. He needs a better offensive line. They definitely need to go out and get offensive linemen. And they just need a better structure, coaching staff, because you just watch them and they're just completely lost in the first half.
And the other side of the equation,
I mean, they're lost.
The other side of the equation is Seattle has a chance of making the playoffs.
Yes. All right?
They flashed stats last night where I think they're at about a 16% probability and the Rams are 84% probability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they make the playoffs, they're so bad too. They only scored 6 points.
Well, let's see.
Like, I get it. The Bears have lost 10 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They are an abomination. The Seahawks are a potential playoff team. And that's all they got?
I don't think they'll make it, but yes, they are potential.
And
they're
they
not
have
out of
talent
it
at wide receiver.
Yep.
I mean, I think JSN has emerged as their best receiver.
Yeah, what did he do last
And then you got Metcalf
night?
And Lockett. And I know it was raining last night, but it was terrible.
Metcalf had 3 catches. JSN had 3 catches. They didn't do anything in the passing game, neither team. But yet you're right. I mean, the weather wasn't great. But I'm sorry. You should be able to score more than 9 points in a game, even if it's raining like that. But the
it was 0-0 in the second half.
Yeah,
it was 6-3 at the half.
It was awful. So the Rams, who of course lead the NFC West right now, they could have gotten in if Seattle lost last night and they play Arizona this weekend. They can also get in if they win, and the Rams would clinch strength of victory tiebreaker because they would have the same record in the division. And
it's like the fourth tiebreaker.
And then it would come down to strength of victory. So in order for that to happen, the Rams would need 3.5 or more wins from 6 teams this week. So they would need the Vikings, the Bills, the 49ers, the Commanders, the Bengals, the Browns. Right? They would need 4 of those 6 teams to win if they ended up tied with Seattle. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of confusing. But there's still a small chance that Seattle could get in. I don't think they will because I don't think the Rams are going to lose to Arizona, honestly.
So JSN this year, 96 catches, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
DK Metcalf with 63 catches and Tyler Lockett with 47. So JSN's emerged as their number one.
Yeah, he's having a good time. Metcalf's had some lingering injuries for the year, but you're right. He has been their number one the last few weeks. All right, so with the Commanders, I know we'll get into it later, but they still have some guys who are on the injured list, if you want to put it that way, because they are missing practice. Marshawn Lattimore did not practice yesterday.
I wouldn't expect him to play.
It doesn't look good. I mean,
got to get him right for the playoffs.
But, you figure you need him against Atlanta, especially if Drake London's going to play. Now, Drake London hurt his hamstring last week. His coach, Raheem Morris, said he could have gone back in the game, and he was limited in practice yesterday. So we'll talk more about that. But for Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts is still in concussion protocol, so he has not practiced all week. Kenny Pickett is taking first-team reps for Philadelphia. I know there are a certain amount of fans out there that think that there's still a possibility for Washington to win the division. I think it's almost impossible because even if Hurts was out for the rest of the regular season, I just don't see them, even with Kenny Pickett, losing to the Giants. I don't see it.
And they have a soft landing spot after the Giants game too, right?
Oh, no, they play the Cowboys this week, and then they play the Giants in week 18.
So, but
they
would Cowboys
have to,
and Giants.
They would have to lose both of those.
Yeah.
And I think if maybe they sit Hurts out this week against Dallas, and maybe they can get by Dallas with Kenny Pickett. Even if they didn't, I would assume Hurts would be back to win, trying to win the division against the Giants. Just my opinion on that. But anyway, so Hurts is still in concussion protocol. We were talking about the Netflix numbers yesterday. Kind of crazy here. Netflix apparently set records for the most streamed NFL games in U.S. history, while the NBA had its best holiday numbers in 5 years, according to Nielsen. The NFL and Nielsen said 65 million U.S. viewers tuned in for at least 1 minute to watch one of the NFL games. And it doesn't matter how long you watch it.
Well, it does matter.
Not really.
For the advertisers.
Well, that's fine, but they've already...
Yes.
You're just getting the purchases, and the advertisers are already paying.
Yeah.
So...
The average numbers, I know you have that total numbers
at
65 million, but the average viewers...
Mm-hmm.
For the Netflix games was right around 25 million.
And that was the
NBA average,
yes.
Average was right around 5 million, which was great for them.
Yep.
So those are the people that don't have Netflix, I guess, or they love the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But I just retweeted this. So the poll that we had up about the NBA was on there for 24 hours. It got roughly 3,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
If you combined the amount of people that said they watched only the NBA, which was 3%, and the amount of people that said they watched some NBA and some NFL, which was 9%, that's 12% that watched the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
88% watch zero NBA. That's a major problem. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. There's so many reasons. So many people were hitting us up on social media. I mean, hundreds of comments from the three-pointers to the players all being friends. No rivalries anymore.
A lot of international
woke
players.
Policies, whatever. People seem to be out on the NBA.
Mm-hmm. But they were watching it apparently on Christmas Day.
A little bit.
5.5 million or 5.25 million.
You know, Mike Maher, you're younger. Did you watch any NBA on Christmas Day?
I watched a little bit of the Celtics 76ers game.
Because that's before the NFL started.
Exactly. And then other than that, not a single minute. Yeah. I was just locked in on Netflix.
It's a problem. It's a problem for the NBA.
And think about it on Netflix. Once you're logged in and you're watching on Netflix, mm-hmm. you can't like flip the channel. Yeah, you can't check in on the game.
That's what I said yesterday. It's tedious. I mean, you can do it. It would take me about, I don't know, 5 seconds. I'm going to hit the home button. I got to click over to YouTube TV, which what I have, and then you got to find the channel.
You got to put it on, and then hopefully it's not a commercial.
Right. Then you got to go back to Netflix. Yeah.
There's no like one button you can hit like any other game that you're flipping back and forth from.
It's definitely a factor, but I think the biggest factor is a lot of people have lost interest in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Were you an NBA fan at one point?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I'm guessing your fandom has gone down.
Yeah, the Wizards also have an impact on that. Just being asked.
You know, a lot
for
of people
of
said
years,
that too. I noticed that on social media that they were saying, you know, since Wizards aren't as good, so I'm more of a global NBA fan. So
if you think Goodell isn't going to smash the NBA next season, especially after LeBron goes on his post game and says the Christmas is for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's not going to put like the Cowboys on Christmas Day or the Steelers again on Christmas Day?
Well, it depends what day.
Or these big market teams.
Does it depend on what day Christmas falls on?
It'll be on Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, so that works out. Because if it falls on a Monday or Tuesday.
Or put three games. Yeah. Have a 12 o'clock, a 4:30.
Just like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just like Thanksgiving. And then a night game.
Well, it's 100% they'll do that.
I would bet any amount of money that Goodell's going to put three games on Christmas
Triple
Day
header,
on a Thursday.
Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of the Wizards, they beat the Hornets again.
They own Charlotte.
They beat them 113-110 last night. Of course, they just played the Hornets at home last Friday night. Oh, I'm sorry, Thursday night. And
LaMelo had 31, but Jordan Poole hit a game winner.
They win 113-110. So LaMelo Ball in the last two games against the Wizards in Washington is 7-for-31 from threes.
Not good.
Because he was 3-for-18 last Thursday, and he was 4-for-13 last night.
Well, also, the thing which jumps out at me, did he have 27 shots last night?
He took 27, yeah.
I think maybe he had almost 30 in the first game.
Yeah, he just jacked
him up. He's basically taken 60 shots in two games against the Wizards.
I mean, they're 7-23. The Wiz improved to 5-23. To lead the Wiz, like you mentioned, it was Jordy Poole, 25. Sarr had 15. Koulibaly had 20. Koulibaly's put up a couple. Since we were killing Koulibaly, I don't know, a couple weeks ago with Cakes, he's put up a couple of decent games.
He's all right. He's averaging 13 this season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'll take that. And then guys off the bench, Kispert had 13, and Brogdon had 11. So that's a win, 5-23 over the Hornets. We were talking about Luka yesterday. He's going to be out a month, okay, with that calf strain. So we're probably going to lose that Dallas Mavericks total. I'm pretty sure we're going to lose that. And last but not least, DeSean Jackson, former receiver in the NFL,
surprised me.
Is going to be the head football coach at Delaware State.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice. Also in the same conference as Norfolk State in the MEAC, where Michael Vick was just hired. So
that's where a guy Donovan McCants went to.
Correct. So DeSean Jackson will be the head coach at Delaware State. Michael Vick will be the head coach at Norfolk State, and they'll be in the same conference.
Have to take a break. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. Same number on the Thompson Windows text machine. Standard message and data charge may apply. You can hit us up on X at Junks Radio.